Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
This is what we have been given. This is what churches need to teach. And this is what is not being taught in many churches. They'll talk about positive things, and I don't have any problem with talking about how to have a good marriage, how to be a good parent, how to be fulfilled, how to be satisfied, how to be enthusiastic, other messages they might put together. That's fine. Make sure you preach the gospel, though.
Paul had brought the truth of the gospel to the churches in the region of Galatia. That is, they must believe that Jesus died for their sins and that he rose from the dead. They had received and they had believed that gospel. But now, they were buying into the false doctrine that salvation came by living under the law. The letter, written to the Galatians, is the declaration of our freedom in Christ that comes by walking in faith. Here's more from last time in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 10, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
What is the gospel? What is the actual gospel of Jesus Christ? We get that given to us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Paul clarifies exactly what it is. And this is such a good little package because we can be confused about exactly what the gospel is. Here he says, verse 1, of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and by which you stand. So the gospel can be received. You can stand on the gospel. At the end of this quote, he's going to talk about believing. So you receive the gospel, you stand in the gospel, and you believe the gospel. Those are the three things we find in this text, okay? So you have received it, you believed it, and you stand in it, by which also you are saved. The gospel, receiving the gospel, is how you are saved. He says, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And that is that you could believe like a demon believes. You could believe it's true, but never really receive it and trust in him. So it's got to be more than just believing that it's there or it happened. You have to actually trust your life to Christ. He says, unless you believed in vain, and that would be people who would believe it, but don't follow him. Like demons who believe it, but don't follow him. For I delivered to you first that which I received. He wants you to know this wasn't his origin. He received this. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the first part of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and it was foretold in the Old Testament. That's part of the gospel. That it is prophecy. The gospel is prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 53, 6, and the iniquity of us all was placed upon him. I think that's the right citing. And Jesus, in the New Testament, we see died for our sins, just as it says there. So it was foretold according to the scripture that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day, according to scripture. There are prophecies that speak of Jesus being resurrected. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. I think that's Psalm 16:10. Also in Psalms 22 and also in Isaiah 53, you have the one who dies. He's cut off from the land of the living and yet he sees his days. He's able to continue to go on. So all of this was foretold. And by the way, we know now that there is evidence that Jesus lived, was killed by Pontius Pilate, and on the third day, the tomb was empty. Those are three things that we know. And there's a consensus among scholars on. There are certainly scholars that will deny it, but most scholars will say, because you have Roman historians quoting that Jesus was killed under Pontius Pilate. Why would someone like Tacitus, a Roman historian, write that if it wasn't true? So you believe that this is this and that the scriptures foretold it. And again, he kind of gives this in Romans chapter 10 when he says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay? So this is, again, according to the scriptures, it was foretold. And then it says, and that he was buried and he rose again, as was foretold, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, then the 12, then by the 12, so Peter first, then the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, that's the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother of Jesus, then by the apostle, and last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time, that was on the road to Damascus. And I am the least of the apostles. Paul declares his apostleship to the Corinthians as well. But I'm the least of the apostles. I am what I am. And that just means he's Popeye, right? I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached and so you believed. So there you have the believed. You've got the received and stand in, and now you've got the believed. So this is a concise of what the gospel is really about. This is what we have been given. This is what churches need to teach. And this is what is not being taught in many churches. They'll talk about positive things, and I don't have any problem with talking about how to have a good marriage, how to be a good parent, how to be fulfilled, how to be satisfied, how to be enthusiastic, other messages they might put together. That's fine. Make sure you preach the gospel, though. Make sure that that's not what your church is about. It's not a self-help gospel. Let's look at verse 6 of our text. This is the beginning of it. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Paul, it was amazing to him that they would so soon hear something different and they would turn to it. Some of the different gospels, we know what their different gospel was, one of them anyway. Now, some of the different gospels we have today, there is the prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel. That's the prosperity gospel. God wants you rich. God never wants you to be sick. This is tickling your ears. In the last days, men will heap up teachers who will tickle their ears. First time I heard this doctrine, I was 19 years old. I was told that I could have a Cadillac if I wanted to in a two-story house. And I was kind of like, what a coincidence. God wants me rich and I want to be rich. How about that? I like that. There's the self-esteem gospel. This is the teaching that what really matters is that you love yourself. You got to love yourself before you can love other people. So give yourself a hug. Tell yourself how much you love each other. Come on now, everybody, hug yourself and tell yourself I love. I'm not kidding. That's what's preached. That's how it's preached. And everybody in the audience, I love you. I love me. I love myself. You know, self-esteem gospel. It's a false gospel. The signs and wonders gospel, that God reveals himself through signs and wonders and backs the message up through signs and wonders. Again, just not biblical. It would be great if that was the case and we could all walk around doing signs and wonders, but that's just not the case. The social justice gospel, which is one of the newer false teachings in progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity teaches that you got to follow your heart, that you're basically good inside and you got to follow your heart and God's love, and therefore we've got to love everybody and we don't want to take a stand against anybody. And so we just got to have that love. They're very LGBTQ affirming because of that. Well, God wouldn't hate them. And I would agree. God didn't hate them. But it doesn't mean God thinks it's okay. Right? God does love. So the social justice gospel just says, well, what Jesus really was teaching was that we're just go out and do a bunch of things for people. And we are. We do need to. We want to. When we're transformed, we want to help those who are poor. But you don't get saved by social justice. There's the moralism gospel. People believe that they can be saved by being good. We know that's wrong. There's the religious gospel. People think that they can be saved by just being religious. We know that's wrong. There's the you are God's gospel. And I'm not talking about LDS theology now. I'm talking about those who teach you're gods. You got to be given creative things and you're gods with a little g. And you could speak things into existence. So stop, when you got a stomach ache, stop saying you have a stomach ache. Say you feel fine. Stop saying, I don't do that well. Say, I do it good. God spoke into existence, and so you can speak him into existence as well. It's not true. I was gonna say all kinds of things, but decided on not true. There's the progressive gospel, which is kind of a repackaging of the new age. And some in the progressive gospel will believe the real gospel. But many, most in the progressive movement don't. They deny what the Bible says, and they see our stands as being the worst thing in the world. We're the problem because of what we believe, the progressive gospel. And if you don't know what the progressive gospel teaches and you're being exposed to it, do some studying. There's a lot of good things. Alyssa Childers, again on YouTube, has a great video on progressive Christianity. Alyssa Childers used to be in Zoe Girl, and she does a great video on it. It will really inform you as to what's taking place with progressive Christianity today, or the progressive gospel. There's the universal gospel, everybody saved. You know, everybody's gonna make it in the end. There's the mystic gospel. This is taught in a lot of churches that a lot is unknown, and we just have to seek God. It's almost like Gnosticism. We've gotta seek God, and we're gonna be enlightened the more we seek him. The truth isn't found in the word of God. It's found in your revelation to yourself. So just be aware of these. So in verse 7, he goes on to say that it's not another gospel. So the word gospel means what? Good news. It's good news that we receive God. It's good news that Jesus comes and lives inside of us. That's good news. And theirs really isn't good news. Their news is, you got to keep the law. What are you doing? Men get circumcised. That's bad news, not good news. Right? The rest of it, keep the dietary laws. That's all bad news. They're taking away your freedom. So then he goes on to say, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There's a perversion of the gospel. It looks like the gospel when you see it from a distance, but when you get up close, you realize that's not the gospel. That's not what we've been given. That's not what we're supposed to preach when it says in Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to preach the real, genuine gospel. And then he gets really strong with it. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, back to LDS, remember it was the angel Moroni that came to Joseph Smith that gave him the golden tablets that he supposedly translated. By the way, Joseph Smith, I keep on picking on Mormons today, but Joseph Smith is a proven fraud. In his copy of the Bible, he wrote his own copy, his own translation. He added to the end of the book of Revelation and put himself in it, that there would become one along who would do this, do that, and his name would be Joseph. He actually added himself in it. And you can go online and read their version, his version of Genesis, and go to Genesis 50 and just keep going, and you'll see what he wrote. He obviously didn't translate that from any manuscript, because we have manuscripts from Genesis and we know that they're not in there. He just added to it. So I'm going to stop picking on LDS now, all right? For now, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what you have been preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, this is not talking about the people that are in these churches, whether it's LDS or Jehovah Witnesses or Progressive Church, which, by the way, Progressive Churches all die. And here's why. They say the Bible's not true. The Bible's not true. You don't have to follow it. Don't worry about reading it. So you get up one morning, you go, why am I going to go to church? It's not true. I can find my truth within myself. And so they die. That's exactly what happens. When a church becomes a progressive church, they end up dying. So let them be accursed. It's not talking about people sitting in the pews. It's talking about the people teaching it. If they're bringing you another gospel, then let them be accursed. It's not talking about deceived people. They just need to hear the right gospel and give their lives to Christ. But those people that are preaching it, these cult leaders, let them be accursed, he says. It's very strong. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? He realizes that we can follow these things and not be pleasing God at all. In fact, people a lot of times don't want to hear who false teachers are. When every once in a while, I'll give a name of someone who's a false teacher. And if you've been ministered to by them, and remember, they mix the truth with the lies. And so you could have heard the truth from them, been ministered by them, and then you hear that they have a false teaching and you get mad at me. You're like, that's it. I'm leaving Calvary. I'm done. Can't believe that he didn't like that person. And it's like, well, who's your loyalty to? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, is your loyalty to that teacher that taught something false? Or is your loyalty to God and the truth? Do you serve men or do you serve God? Do you want to follow God and what he says? Or do you like a person and so you want to follow them? And so when I say Joel Osteen doesn't teach the gospel, he's a good teacher, a lot of positive things. He does a lot to encourage people. but doesn't teach the gospel. And people say, well, I've been ministered to by him. Okay. Well, okay. I'm not even saying he's a false teacher, because I don't know. I don't want to judge people that way. I don't want to judge that they're a false teacher or false prophet. I want to judge the teaching. He's not teaching the gospel. And with the gospel not teach, what are you doing? And the same could be true, and I could go on and talk about other people that teach the same kind of things and just don't teach the gospel. But I won't. But are you pleasing God or pleasing men? Do you want to be pleased by men? Do you want to follow men? Do you want to follow God? He says, for if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. In other words, you guys are listening to what these guys are saying. You are pleasing them by doing what they're telling you to do, and you're now not following God. You want to please men or you want to please God? And if you're following men, you're no longer a bondservant of Christ. And we want to be a bondservant of Christ. So we want to follow the things that Jesus gives us to follow. Three things in closing. Believe the biblical gospel. Believe it. If you need refreshment on it, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Memorize it if you want to. Memorize the key parts of it. But believe it, receive it, and stand in it. It is how you are saved, by receiving, believing, and standing in the gospel. The Bible has a lot to say about being a good parent, a lot to say about being a good husband, a good wife. The Bible has a lot to say about how to live life fulfilled. But if you don't have Christ, what good is it? So you end up being a better father. But what good is it if you don't have Christ? You haven't received him. You haven't been saved. You are not standing in him. Number two, defend the gospel. Defend it. Be a defender of the gospel. Stand true with what it is. Don't let people, when somebody teaches something that's wrong, reject it. Defend it. Be a strong defender of the gospel. And here I'll speak strongly to those of you who are pastors and leaders. Defend the gospel. Make it part of what you do. Because it's the way people get saved. And if you give them something else, that's fine as long as you're giving them the gospel as well. The third thing is to keep the pure gospel. Don't let it get watered down with other kinds of stuff. Don't water it down in your own mind. Well, yeah, that's the gospel, but it's also this, and it's also this. No, that's the gospel. That's what you receive, that's what you stand in, that's what you're saved in, that's what you believe in. It's what is life transforming. And if people come preaching another gospel, then reject it, because they will be accursed. There's different punishments in hell. Some are beaten with few stripes and some are beaten with many. And I promise one day I'm going to do a teaching on hell. I promise. I've been promising it for like 5 years. But there's a lot of misconceptions about it. There are different punishments in hell. I'm going to take it that being accursed is probably not going to get a light punishment in hell. I think their punishment is going to be severe. And so stand on that gospel, preach it, believe it, defend it, keep it pure, and we'll see the people around us come to Christ. Because if we don't do that, how are they going to come to him? Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what we learn here. We thank you for this strong passage about the purity of the Word of God and the purity of the gospel. And that if anybody comes teaching us something that is different than what we have heard, let them be accursed. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us, that we would walk in the gospel, keep it, defend it, and believe it. And we ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. And I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you have never received Jesus, you've never invited him in, you've never believed the gospel, you don't stand in it. And the way you do it is to receive it. That's John 1:12. As many as receive Christ, he has given them the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. So you need to say, Lord, I want you in my life. He stands at the door and knocks, and he says for you to open it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. So he's knocking now. You're here today. You have heard the presentation of the gospel, and it can save you if you would receive it, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, as was foretold, that he died and rose again, as it was foretold. And if you believe in these things and receive them, then you will be saved. And being saved doesn't just mean you live forever now. It's the quality of life. But being saved is that you've received Christ. Christ comes into your life. You now have, you will have Christ in you, and you in Christ, the Bible says. This is a whole new way of living that you were made for. This is what God made you for, that he could actually be in you and you in him. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now, lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you. That's great. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Just raise your hand. And if you're online, we want to welcome you guys that are watching online. We hope that you are blessed. But most of all, if you don't know him, that you would receive him now. Just say, I want you in my life. You can raise your hand if you want to, but really you just need to receive him. All right. I'd like everybody, including those that raised their hands or responded, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're really excited for you. And this is an adventure for you. You're going to be changed. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. All right? So I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based on what we've been covering. And here's what I want to pray, that you would not be deceived, that you would accept the gospel of Christ, believe it, and not let anybody pervert it for you, not let anybody add to it, not let anybody take it away. This is what it is, and that we would live it. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray, and I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands, and I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for all who are here. Lord, as we've heard this message on the gospel, on a different gospel or in a different Jesus, and Lord, we want to stay true to you. We don't want to serve men. We want to serve you. We don't want to make men happy by believing what they teach. We want to believe you. And Lord, there's so many false gospels that are out there today, false things that we could believe. May we turn away from them, not receive them. I pray for everyone here that they would be solidified in the gospel, solidified in you and what they believe about the gospel of Christ. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking closer to Christ than ever before. And know the greatest thing about salvation is not eternity, but it's knowing God. You walk with him and you know him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.